And we welcome in Teddy. Good to see you.
Good morning.
How are
you? Good morning. I'm doing well.
You know, before we talk football, and we'll do that like we always do, we got to talk about what you just did. Because the Patriots Hall is right outside, practically outside the door here.
Yeah, I just walked over.
And Teddy was down there as a football player, but as an author as well. You were dealing with middle school kids who read your book in school.
Yeah, Hanover Middle School came down, and one of the teachers chose Michael and I's book, our book to read, and there were about 200 of them for a question and answer session, and you know, and Brian Morey asked me to go over and talk to the kids, and I said okay, and he said they're middle school kids, and I said okay, so I just sort of, you know, prepare yourself for what type of questions you're gonna ask, and they're gonna ask, and I got the questions like, you know, what kind of video games do you play and things like that, of course, but that was the minority. Really, it was a majority of questions about the book, and it's amazing how educated these kids were and some of the questions they gave me and how you could tell how they read the book and really enjoyed it.
What were some of the questions they asked you? I mean, like a couple that stand out to you.
The most difficult thing coming back, how did you deal with it emotionally? Did you ever think you'd be the same again?
These are middle school.
So I wanted to make it a point that I was like, all right, when you get the microphone, just give me your name and your age. And so, and they were all 13, 14 years old. And I was really impressed by the questions that really they asked, because they were questions about sort of the journey that we sort of talked about, Michael, in the book about coming back and, you know, how difficult it was emotionally, mentally, physically, the limitations I had at one point or another. And these kids were absolutely incredible. And I've got an envelope, a packet full of letters that they gave us to read. And I'm going to leave some with you. And, you know, I can't wait to read them.
It's pretty cool when you think about, you know, You guys sit down and you write the book, and you wonder if anybody's going to read it and what they're going to take from it.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine either of you ever thought, they're going to teach this in school to kids?
I know I didn't. I don't know if Teddy did, but I really didn't.
And I, you know, Michael, there was a point when we wrote the book, and in football, a lot of times, it's not really PG. It's not really PG, and there were some moments in the book where there were opportunities for us to go there to really make it graphic and vivid and you know, in plain words, sometimes profane. And there was a meeting we had that we decided we didn't want any profanity in this book, not anything, because we wanted 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds to be able to read this book and get something out of this book and have their parents look through it and say, okay, this is okay. You know, I don't see anything in this book that would make me cringe or anything like that in terms of language. So that was a goal of ours in writing this.
And everything, okay, every profanity, even some things that you wouldn't consider profane but are on the borderline or there's a gray area, they were taken out, and it's just the opposite of Patriot Rain, which is full of profanity. So it was definitely a switch.
As we were talking about this, I'm watching him over there, and I'm gonna be Michael Holly for a moment. I got a new kid. Did they sell 200 copies and bust out retail to these kids? I got bills to pay over there. He's thinking that's 200 more books out the door.
Yeah, but I mean, I think having moments like that, I think, I mean, we can truly say, Michael, that our mission was accomplished in some of the things, on our goals, on why we did this. And you know, I was really, really proud that you and I could do something like this.
Well, definitely. And I'll say this, and I've said this to you before. I think anybody who's doing a book, the key is to be candid, you know, to be candid and to do things that most of us don't want to do. I mean, if Dale, if you're writing,
don't want to admit.
I was gonna say, right? If I'm writing the story of your life, you'll say, oh yeah, I did this. That was great. I invented this.
Yeah, I'm
the man. Okay, and you don't really want to talk about some of the tough times, but the tough times
or the stupid stuff you ever did.
Yeah, but the tough times, those are the things that people like, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-olds can latch onto, and it kind of lets them off the hook a little bit and lets them know, yes, people. Very smart people are going to make mistakes and look at where they got to, even though they made these mistakes earlier in life.
Yeah, and the conversation we had, and I mean, there's a lot in it about, I mean, There's contents in this book and details, and Mike would always tell me details, and I was so open at times that I pulled back some. He said, Teddy, you're taking the soul out of this.
Oh, book. You remember that quote?
You're taking the soul, man. And I was like,
good memory.
No, we're still gonna take that one out. there's still plenty of soul.
Oh yeah, and a couple was Heidi said Michael. That's not going in there.
You know, we were talking with Richard a few minutes ago, and Michael made the point that Richard looked like he was having more fun playing the game than Michael remembered in recent memory. And there was a couple shots yesterday where I saw you laughing at one point. And yeah. I mean, they do still call it play football, right? It's not work football.
Yeah, it's try to enjoy yourselves out there. And it's a theme that a lot of us have said the last month or so of the season. I mean, keywords that we've said in our interviews when dealing with the media or anything like that, energy, having energy. I mean, having fun out there, getting back to playing with emotion. I think all of that relates with each other. So, and with that fun comes smiles, and celebrations. And I think the fans out in Gillette Stadium can sense it too at times. I mean, you can tell how they feed off us sometimes, because when they see us having a good time out there or being emotional, they get up a little bit more even too. So it's sort of a relationship that we really, really find genuine with our fans when they can get fired up when we can.
I'd like to get your take on the culture change in football defensively this year. You don't see a lot of hand signals from defensive coaches. The green dot is, Mike Vrabel had it on yesterday. How has that affected you, and what do you think? How do you think it's affected the way the game is played?
If anything, I'm not really a fan of it. I'm not really a fan of it, and I've talked to a lot of guys that possibly some of them like it and some of them don't, because I know we've talked about this. There are levels of communication that you go through on the defensive side of the ball, and I think it's quicker when 11 people see the same thing, rather than one person getting it and then relaying it to 11 people, because it takes a little bit, it maybe take a second for a person with a microphone in their helmet to comprehend what is said to him from that microphone, and then getting it to the defensive huddle, rather than you looking over and you see it, then you got it, rather than looking over and then seeing it from this person, then he's saying it to me. That sort of takes out can be a second or two sometimes of okay, I've got the call, now I can look to the offensive personnel, who's in the offensive formation, how they're lined up, and it delays that a little bit.
I saw Mike Vrabel on All Access this weekend, and he was talking about wearing the green dot, and it's a lot more complicated than we believe, and especially for him, because he's playing offense at times, can't wear the green dot when he's out there on offense, he's got to switch helmets.
Yeah.
And Mike Lynch said to him, what do you think your teammates think? And I think Mike said, I think they're glad they don't have to wear it. Yeah, is that how you feel?
It's a little bit of pressure, because now you don't get mad at the defensive coordinator for giving you the signal late. You get mad at the guy with the green dot.
So it's Vrabel who gets
yelled. What's the call? Wait a second. I can't understand. Hold on. It's one of those things. But, I had it one game when we were experimenting with it. And, sometimes really you can't hear. You can't sort of comprehend what's coming through that, and all of a sudden they're at the line of scrimmage, and you make a call on based on what you think your defensive coordinator would call versus that offensive personnel.
Do you feel like it is keeping scoring down a bit? Because there's no I know this is not a topic around here. There's no chance of someone intercepting signals or taping a signal and figuring out what you guys are going to do. Now you know what's happening, but the offense has no idea.
Possibly. Well, I have no idea who was out there picking up our signals or whatever, but there were times when we'd have guys stand in front of our defensive signal caller, so it wasn't a clear view for the other sideline, and there really isn't that possibility at all anymore with the helmet communication. I think if I had one improvement on the helmet communication defensively, to have two people with it. I mean, a safety and a linebacker, because then sometimes the safety has to run all the way back on, a fade route, a deep route. Okay, a safety and a cornerback have to run all the way back to the huddle, which can be 60 yards sometimes to get the call and then get back into position 20 yards deep. So if the safety had it in the defensive backfield, as long as someone and someone in the front seven, I think that'd make it a lot more welcomed by players.
In addition to the emotional change that you talked about the last month or so, having fun, playing with emotion, How is your defense playing differently over the last few weeks? Because you guys look different to me.
I know we look different. We look different without having Rodney Harrison out there. There's always that number 37 running around that may look like he's got fire coming out of his helmet sometimes.
So running into you sometimes.
Yeah. That friendly fire possibility is a little bit less now. But I'd say a little bit different in the defensive backfield. I mean, Brandon Merriweather, I think, is shown great improvement this year, and he's been doing things back there that have been welcomed. But front seven wise, Dale, I don't know. But in terms of change, I mean, we just keep doing what we do front seven wise. I mean, we're physical. We two gap people. We put our hands in people's chests and just say, you're not going to knock me back, and then shed them and make the tackle. And that's what we do up front. And I think that's what we've continued to do front seven wise.
I asked Richard this about Thursday's game, a quick turnaround. And I know we talked about this before. You've played on a Sunday and played on a Thursday. As a matter of fact, when you went to Detroit and had those throwback uniforms on, I think you had an interception in that game on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Do you remember what you did to prepare for such a quick turnaround? I mean, how was your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for that Thursday game?
I think I did everything I could possibly do to recover physically first. I mean, starting last night, just I know it was a 1 o'clock game, so I mean, getting to bed and getting your rest, and you know, if you got to get in the ice tub, get there, get your treatments, take care of your body, and usually when we have a long week, that Monday and Tuesday can sometimes be sort of improvements and corrections from the game before. And so I think if anything gets taken out, I think possibly it could be that. Just okay, we beat Buffalo, let's put that to bed, let's move on. And now, I mean, even before I was talking to the kids in the hall, just already watching Jet film and sort of, you know, we won the game. We can possibly improve on that. Maybe you go back and revisit the Buffalo game if you want to watch it after the Thursday game, because you have a little bit longer week then. But just moving on mentally to your next opponent. And in our favor, I mean, it is an opponent that we're familiar with, you know, with the Jets. So maybe that individual player recognition on, okay, how's this guard play or something like that. I mean, I know how Fanica plays, how Mangold plays, how Moore, how Woody, how Ferguson, those offensive linemen already. I mean, the running backs of Richardson and Jones. So Washington, you know, you're sort of familiar with them, so that helps.
Congratulations on the win yesterday. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Good to see you.
Thanks, Teddy.
Teddy Bruschi joining us here on Sports Radio WEEI.